our Savior hung between two thieves. Hear the soldiers mock his name. See his followers as they cry in disbelief. This could not be the reason why he came. See him realize his life is just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. See his children torn between two ways. Some still choose to mock his name. Hear his followers now as they can boldly say, themselves alone to do what only Christ can do. Through Jesus' blood alone we may approach the Father's throne and hear the words that he still calls to you. Paid in full, I've done the work I've came to do. Paid in full, I've paid life's for you. When all hell tries to tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. I've done the work I've came to do. Paid in full, I've paid life's final price for you. When all hell tries to tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. Just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full.
All right, if you have a Bible, turn to Joshua chapter 1. Some of you are wondering, where is the beard coming from? Well, I left my razor back in the country of Laos. Amen. I went to my granddaughter, Hosanna, this morning. As I was walking, I walked over to my granddaughter, Hosanna. Love her dearly. I looked at her and said, Hosanna, how are you doing? She looked at me. I said, Hosanna, you know who I am, right? She said, and she walked away. Anyway, so Joshua chapter 1, I cannot believe that Brother Chim is 36 years old. Where is Brother Chim? Brother Charlie, did he leave? He left. Brother Charlie used to play basketball for me when he was 15 years old. And he actually was one of our best basketball players. And I'll never forget one of my best memories of Brother Charlie. We were playing Lancaster Baptist, and they were our big-time rivals. And at that time, I was the coach of the JV team, and Charlie was our best player. And we were, I think we were in the middle of the second quarter, near the end of the second quarter, and Charlie loved to shoot the three-point shot. And he started, and he was my point guard. He was going down the court, and from almost half court, it wasn't the end of the game, it wasn't the end of the half, almost half court, he starts going to shoot the shot. And I start to holler, Charlie! I'm sorry. And I mean, swish, man, he made it. I said, good shot, good shot. Anyway, but that was not what I was going to say to him. Joshua chapter 1, Pastor Myers, thank you for letting me be here today. Let's all stand. Joshua chapter 1, and this morning and this evening, we're going to do a part 1, part 2. from the book of Joshua. This evening, we'll gear it a little bit more towards missions and having a mind for missions. I bring you greetings from the country of Laos. Of course, Kumli and Dorat were with you a few weeks ago. They're back there. My wife is there teaching English. And God's doing some amazing things. Do pray for the people of Laos. We've had a lot of flooding. Some of our church members, some of the people we work with, have lost. Actually, they've lost everything. I'm thankful for Barnabas 1040. Sometime this week, I'll go pick up a check for $4,000 from Barnabas 1040. They're going to help with a couple farms that have been lost and that type of thing. But pray for them. By the way, pray for our brothers and sisters in China. Lots of persecution. I was just in China doing a revival in China, Hainan, China, about a month ago. But, I mean, man, they're bulldozing church buildings down, and there's just a lot of persecution in that part of the world. And I have a letter from a Chinese national pastor that is absolutely scary of what President Xi plans on doing in the country of China. So they need a lot of prayer. He wants it to bring it back to the Mao Zedong days. And so do pray for our brothers and sisters in China. And a lot of things going on in China. They've quarantined whole sections of Muslims, and they're putting them in re-education camps, basically brainwashing them. And you say, oh, well, those are just Muslims. You know, if they could do it with one religion, they could do it with every religion. So do be praying for them. Joshua chapter 1, I'll read verses 1 through 9, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Then you can be seated. The Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give unto them of the children of Israel. Every place, could you say every place? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, what a promise here, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Another great promise there. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance the land, which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. Can everybody say prosper? Prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Can I get everybody to say meditate? Meditate. Shall meditate therein once a day. Oh, no, that's not what it says. On Sunday, no, that's not what it says. Meditate therein day and night. Can everybody say day and night?
Day and night.
Wow, these words are given to Joshua, who's going to be leading 2 million people. I'm going to guess that Joshua is going to be a fairly busy man. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yet he's being told to meditate on the word of God day and night. Sometimes we have excuses for why we don't do what we ought to do. We're going to talk to you a little bit about meditation this morning, but the fact that Joshua, a man, a military commander who's going to lead God's people, 2 million people, no technology like we have today. But God says the key to your prosperity, to your success, which we'll see in a moment, is that you meditate on my word day and night. observe to do and observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Could everybody say prosperous? And then thou shalt have good success. Could everybody say good success? This is the only time in the English Bible that you'll find the word success. And it's tied in with meditating on the Word of God day and night, which leads to obedience to the Word of God. Verse number 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're grateful for Pacific Baptist Church. We're thankful for Pastor Myers, Miss Alma, the staff here. We're thankful for this church family. It's always a blessing to come back home, not only to see the old faces, folks who've been here for years, decades, but to see new faces. We're thankful for all that you're doing here. We're thankful for the wonderful Sunday school hour we had and the service, the wonderful singing this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that we have a copy of the Word of God this morning. We're thankful for the blood of Christ. And we ask that you'd be with us this morning. We love you this morning, Lord. We don't love you the way we ought to, but we do love you this morning. We love you because you first loved us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would challenge, that you would encourage us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Most of us are familiar, many of us, I should say, are familiar with the book of Joshua. We're familiar with the man Joshua. Of course, God's people have been in the wilderness for 40 years. They are in the wilderness for 40 years simply because they did not trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And you remember the story how the 12 spies went into the land of Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. And they came back and they murmured and they complained. They saw the giants and fear gripped their hearts rather than going by faith. And so for 40 years, they dwell in the wilderness. God never intended them to be in the wilderness, but for 40 years they are in the wilderness. The older generation dies. The new Moses is getting ready to die. Moses is dead. God's people are going to go into the land of Canaan. And God speaks to Joshua, prepares him, gives some preparation. By the way, so many wonderful lessons here in this chapter that we could spend a lot of time dwelling on, but we're not going to dwell on those this morning. But this morning and this evening, I want to talk to you a little bit about this matter of meditation. Can everybody say meditation? You know, truth of the matter is, when you think about the word meditate, sometimes in the day and age we live, we sort of shy away from it. Because you think of meditation, you sort of think of the Eastern religions, and you think of, somebody, from Asia, and he's sitting there, a Buddhist, meditating. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible talks a lot about meditation. In Psalm 1, verses 2 to 3, the Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Can everybody say meditate? Meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Bible talks a lot about this matter of meditating on the Word of God. And many of us have heard the illustration, what meditation means. It's simply chewing on and thinking about the Word of God. You've heard the crude illustration, but it's a true illustration of meditation. The cow and sheep, and I forget, one has two stomachs and one has three stomachs. And what they do is they chew the grass up and they swallow it. And it goes down and they throw it back up and they chew it a little bit more. Somebody say amen. Sounds good. And then they chew on it a little while and they swallow it. But wait, Jerry, how you doing? This is all about Jerry Montgomery right here. That's all about Jerry. But that's what meditation is. Meditation is chewing, thinking about the Word of God. It's musing on the Word of God. There was a time in Christianity where meditation was emphasized much. Not so much today. Matter of fact, not too long ago, I picked up a book on meditation, and it's filled with quotes that are like 300 years old about meditation. And it's amazing how much 300 years ago God's people talked about meditation. I have asked various Christians over the last month or so, how many messages have you heard in recent days about the topic of meditation? And almost every one of them have said zero. There's a sermon website that I go to occasionally to listen to messages. And I went to it. They have 1.5 million sermons on the website. So I typed in the words meditating on the Word of God and also meditation, 1.5 million sermons and only 11 messages on meditating on the Word of God. But the Bible talks a lot about it. Psalm 119 verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Psalm 119 verses 97 through 100. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation. Can we say meditation? It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies. For they're ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. Can everybody say meditation? Meditation. I understood more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. John chapter 15 verse 7 through 8. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. The word abide means dwell in or live in you. My wife and I have three among young ladies living in our home. We've got three adopted daughters, and they've been living with us for about 5 months now since we've been back in Laos, and the one of them is Marian Adrian Torres, and she's been living with us for 5 months, and I can just guarantee you she is going to keep that dude in check. Somebody say amen. She is a spunky one, and she will keep him in check. And I keep reminding her, it doesn't matter what Adrian says, always remember this, you will be the head of the house. And so I said, if Adrian argues with her, just say, they call teacher, pastor, Ajahn. Ajahn, Johnny says, I am the boss. Okay, so. But they live with us. They live with us 24-7. And, you know, it just, you know, when you have people living with you, you just, it is what it is. Somebody say amen. And, but we always have people visiting our house. Recently, we had our village chief over our house to eat. It's a lady, and we had her over our house to eat, and we had a wonderful meal, and after the meal, we fellowshipped a little bit. By the way, she did ask me. She knew I was coming back to the United States. She's single. Her husband left her many, many years ago. She said, when you go back to America, can you get me a husband? Raul? She's waiting. She said she wants a tall American. Yeah. Oh, okay, good. But she did say handsome, too. But anyway. But after we had a meal, after we taught her how to play Uno, and we played Uno, we had a good time. After it was all said and done, she got up. She said, Kop Jai, thank you. Kop Jai Lai Lai, thank you very much. And she went home to her house. See, there's a difference between a visitor visiting and somebody living in the house. Most Christians allow the Word of God to visit them, but they don't allow the Word of God to live in their house. Big difference. Big difference. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Let the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell in you richly. Same word, abide, dwell, live in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. So this morning, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm going to read a couple quotes to you that are many years old. And these are common thoughts in the Church of Jesus Christ many years ago, before television, before internet, before social networking. I want you to think about some of these words. Thomas Watson, Puritan Thomas Watson, wrote these words. The reason we come away so cold from reading the Word, from hearing the Word, is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation. Did everybody say meditation? How often do we read the Word of God? We open up the Bible, we do our daily Bible reading, and we walk away an hour later, we have no idea what we've read. That's what he's talking about. How many times have we walked away after hearing a message, hearing a sermon, and within a couple hours, somebody can ask, what was the message about? And we go, God, the Bible, Jesus. Somebody say amen. Thomas Manton wrote these words, what is the reason there's so much preaching and so little practice? For lack of meditation. John Ball wrote these words, there's no duty more neglected. Now, this was written 300 years ago. There is no duty more neglected among Christians than of meditation. Can everybody say meditation? I'm going to guess, Pastor Myers, I'm going to guess, if 300 years ago they had a problem meditating on the Word of God, I'm going to guess we have a problem with it. James Usher wrote these words, the want or the lack of meditation is that which undoes us. David Saxon wrote these words, meditation ties people's fluttering minds to the true spiritual anchor of stability. Meditation heals the soul of its deadness and worldliness. Meditation awakens the lethargic, energizes the weary, and encourages the depressed. Can everybody say meditation? Nathaniel Renew wrote these words, little meditating makes lean Christians of little life, little strength, little growth, and of little usefulness to others. In Joshua chapter 1, as God's people are getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. Now, many of us are familiar with the fact that Egypt, being delivered from Egypt, is a picture of salvation. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Somebody say amen. Amen. But God never delivered them from Egypt just to be delivered from Egypt. His intention was for them to go to the land of Canaan. But because of their unbelief, because of their disobedience, for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. The day finally comes, they're going to cross the Jordan River, which is actually a picture of a surrendered life. They're going to cross the Jordan River, they're going to go in the land of Canaan, and it's amazing that God says to Joshua, before you go into Canaan, I want you to understand something. It doesn't matter how busy you are, I want you to meditate on my word day and night. And if you meditate on my word day and night, you'll observe my word, and I'll prosper you, and I'll bless you, and you'll live the life of victory, the life of faith and victory in the land of Canaan. The thought this morning is really simple. Many of us spend our Christian experience in the wilderness, and we never go into the land of Canaan. And part of the reason is because we don't meditate on God's words. Now, tonight I'm going to tie this in a little bit to missions. You know, you've heard, those of you from Pacific, or you've been here for years, you've heard me say many times, you know, missions conferences, you go to missions conferences and we put the missions flags up, we put the missions quotes down, but when the missions conference is over, we take them down and then we don't think about it again till next year. Why? Lack of meditation. Lack of meditation. This morning, as Christians, most of us today want to be men and women of the Bible and prayer. As Christians today, most of us love God. We want to love God with all of our hearts. As Christians today, most of us want to serve God. Most of us want to love others with the love of Christ. Most of us today, we want to love our spouse as a Christian should. Most of us today want to rear our children to be godly children, like the Word of God. Not, by the way, godly, not simply good. As Christians, most of us today want to have grateful hearts. As Christians today, most of us want to give sacrificially. As Christians today, most of us want to love and forgive unconditionally. As Christians today, most of us want to have a greater burden for lost people. Begin with our family and friends and coworkers. As Christians today, most of us want to have a heart for missions. But I think this morning, a lot of us would have to admit, we don't. A few weeks ago, all summer long in Laos, I've been preaching a series of messages on growing in Christ. And two, maybe 3 weeks ago, I preached a message on surrendering all. A growing Christian surrenders all. After the service, what we do is we have small groups after the service. And what we do is we talk about the message in the service and we ask, you know, what did you understand? Do you have any questions or that type of thing? One of our Hmong ladies named Jampa, a very faithful lady. She's been saved about 5-6 years. Very, very faithful lady. Loves the Lord. She broke down in tears. And here's what she said. She said, for years, I have heard messages about surrendering all. She said, many preachers have preached about surrendering all. She says, every time they preach, when it comes to the invitation, I always raise my hand. And I say, I want to surrender all. And with tears in her eyes, she said, but I just can't. And I just don't. And I just don't understand why. I think if we're honest, most of us, if not all of us, understand where she's coming from. I think all of us could say, been there, done that. And there's a lot of different reasons. But I think one of the biggest reasons is we don't meditate on God's word. When we open up the word of God, when we read it in the morning, we just read it. I got to have my daily devotions. And we go away. But we don't meditate. We come to a service and we listen to a message and God wants to speak to us. But the truth of the matter is, and you know it's true, I'm guilty. As soon as we walk out of the service, gotta check Twitter. What's the Cubs score? How the Dodgers doing? We don't meditate on the word that was preached. See, God wants to speak to us. Married couples, God wants to speak to us about our marriage. Somebody say amen. Our marriage ought to be better today than it's ever been before. God wants that. But we want it. And God tells us how to get it. But we have to meditate. Those of you, if you have children today, God wants our children to grow in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. He wants them to be not only good children, He wants them to be godly children, and He wants to use us as tools and instruments to see them grow to be everything that they ought to be for Christ. But you know what? It's not going to happen if we're not meditating on the Word of God. God wants, look at in every area of our life, you think about every area of our life, God wants to help us to be a better husband, be a better wife, be a better father, be a better mother, be a better Christian. God wants to help us. God wants us to have a heart for souls. And we know it. We hear the preaching and we hear the teaching and we know we should have a burden, but the truth of the matter is we don't. And I think a big reason is because we don't meditate on the Word of God. In a couple days, we're going to start missions revival. And I'll talk more about this tonight. And, you know, there'll be pictures and slides and stories. And the reason we have a missions revival is God wants to speak to our hearts. Somebody say amen. God wants to change us. He wants to challenge us. In some cases, He wants to convict us. But the truth is, we have to meditate. We have to think about it. 8 years ago, when God first started speaking to me about this matter of missions, in the mission field, there were a couple messages that were key messages. But the truth is, it wasn't the sermons. You know how God got hold of my heart? It was after I left the services. And I dwelled on, I thought upon these things. God tells Joshua, He says, look, I want you to rise. I want you to go forward. By the way, let me just say this. In the Christian life is all about going forward. Not going backwards, but it's not about sitting still. And sometimes as Christians, we get comfortable and we get complacent. We used to talk about the complacency disease. We get comfortable, we get complacent, and rather than going forward for Christ, we just sit still. But He told Joshua, He said, rise, go. But then He said, Joshua, I need you to meditate on my word day and night. A few weeks ago when I was meditating on this passage of scripture, I jotted these words down. Our adversary, the devil, could care less how many sermons we hear. He could care less how much Bible we read. He could care less how many verses we memorize. His primary concern is whether we understand and obey what we've heard, read, and memorized. And that comes through meditation. So this morning, the challenge this morning is this. As a Christian, I want to ask you a very simple question. Are you meditating on the Word of God? In Psalm 1, verses 2 to 3, we just read a moment ago, it says, if we meditate on God's Word day and night, we'll be fruitful. like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Where we have our English school, we have a mango tree. We did have a mango tree. Recently, Gong cut it down. We have a mango tree, but it hasn't grown fruit for about 3 or 4 years. No fruit. No fruit. The true tree has no value. Gong, one of our young men in our Bible college, he said every morning he would go out looking for fruit. No fruit. He actually got mad. But the thing is, God says if we will meditate. Did everybody say meditate? Meditate day and night. We can be fruitful. This morning, some of us, we've become comfortable. Some of us have become complacent. This morning, many of us, there are things that God has spoken to us. Some of us this morning, our marriages, we know we need a boost in our marriage. And I got some really good news for you. God wants to give you a boost in your marriage. God wants your marriage to be better today than it's ever been before. He wants it to be better tomorrow than it is today. Somebody say amen. Some of us this morning, and you have this desire to see that your children grow in the Lord and be all that God wants them to be. But you know, the truth of the matter is, as parents, we need to meditate on the Word of God, and we need to teach our children to meditate on the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some of us this morning, we say, you know, I want to have a burden for the lost. Where there's no vision, the people perish. God says to Joshua, Joshua, you're going to cross the Jordan River. That's a picture of surrender. You're going to go over the Jordan River. And when you go over the Jordan River, I want you to meditate day and night on my word. Joshua's a busy man. We're busy today. The day and age we live in, it's just hectic. Somebody say amen. Some of you, you know, you work long hours throughout the week, and you do your best to make it to services, and thank God you make it to the services, and we just have so many things going on. You're getting the kids to school, you're going to work, and in most cases, mom and dad are both working, and it's just busy, busy, busy. It's like a rat race, and what happens is we get so busy, we just really don't have time to meditate. For some of us, there's a lot of distractions. Man, I love sports. I told my wife, I keep track of the Dodgers and the Cubs, and see, where I live, it's 15 hours ahead, 14 hours ahead. So I wake up a few times during the night, and I'll check the score, because the Cubs game will be on 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'll go check the score. I told my wife yesterday, I sent her a text, I have to remember, I don't have to check at 1 o'clock in the morning. Somebody say amen. But here's the thing. There's so many distractions. This morning, just a little reminder of something that we all know. It's nothing new. This is a precious book. It's God's word. This is a love letter from heaven. I've used this illustration many times. Years ago, when my wife and I downsized out of a condo to a small apartment, getting ready to sell everything in garage sales, we found a box filled with love letters and cards that we had written to each other over the previous 30 years, whatever it was. We've been married 36 years, about 30 years. I mean, from before we were married, big box. So I said, you know what we're going to do? Our anniversary was coming up. I said, here's what we're going to do for our anniversary. We're just going to stay home. We're going to have a nice meal. We're going to stay home, and we're just going to read the letters and cards. I said, I'll read the cards and letters you wrote to me, and you'll read the cards and letters that I wrote to you. And we just sat there, one at a time. And I cannot begin to describe to you what began to happen. As I would read the letters that my wife, or the cards that my wife wrote to me, even before we were married, my heart started warming up. I started thanking God for the good wife that He gave me. I started thinking about all the years that this wonderful woman, she's followed me all over the world. Somebody say amen. John back there, he has no idea what country I'm in. I said, don't worry about it. Nobody else does either. Amen. I'm all over the place. But she just follows me. But man, I remember reading those letters, and man, my cold heart started warming up. I started becoming grateful. And that's what the Word of God will do. If we don't just read it, but if we meditate on it. How many of you drink tea? Anybody drink tea? Everybody drinks coffee now, but I'll close with this illustration. Meditation, very, very simple illustration to illustrate the power of meditation. If you take a cup of boiling water and you take a tea bag, if you drop it in the boiling water just for 1 or 2 seconds and pull it back out, you're not going to get much out of it. That's like the preaching of the Word of God. If you drop it in for 5 or 6 seconds, pull it out, do something, that's like reading it on your own. If you drop it in for 10 seconds, it's like memorizing scripture. But if you pull it out, it's still weak. But if you drop the tea bag in the boiling water and just let it sit there, little by little, the water's going to change colors. It's going to change the color of the water. It's going to change the flavor of the water. And that's what meditation does. It changes everything about you and me. Are you just hearing the Word? Are you just reading the Word? Are you just memorizing the Word? Or are you taking this things serious about meditation? It'll help our marriages. It'll help us in rearing our children. It'll help our ministries. It'll help every area of our life. Let's stand. Let's pray.